Australia is keeping these modules staged together. And in some of those big fields, they're getting mixed up and causing the gen problem because they come in on a single semi, six or eight, and then some were picked in the morning, some were picked in the afternoon, and then all of a sudden you got, you know, one module coming in that's wet and one that's dry. And so far what I've seen on the module yards just playing around with that thing is that by chance or by design, I don't know, most of these modules are coming out in sequence. But that is something we haven't talked about education our producers on, and it's something we probably need to pay attention to in the future. So with that, I want to thank Todd Waters and let him join us from Pantego, North Carolina, at Coastal Carolina Gen. Todd?
Thank you. Not sure if it's a good thing or a bad thing when you're on the program at the end of the day, so I'll try to keep it quick and as painless as possible. But I would like to thank Cotton Incorporated for their involvement in this project and the research that they do, not just in this one, but throughout the industry as well. And then asking me to cover, inviting me to come to share my experience, you know, in the ginning industry of my experience of, you know, the RFIDs and the round bale pickers. Just give you a little quick background. Again, my name is Todd Waters. Work at Coastal Carolina Gin in Eastern North Carolina. We have two facilities. We usually gin on average between 65 and 70,000 bales, except for this year with all the extreme weather that we've had. We lost about 40% of that. So out of those bales normally that we gin, we range anywhere from 80 to 85% of our cotton is harvested, you know, by the John Deere spindle pickers. And then the balance is still harvested with the conventional pickers. In 2008, that's when we were introduced with the round bale pickers. We had, I guess you can call it, one prototype in our area. In 2009, that's when, you know, John Deere went commercial production. We had five in our area. And that number has grown to, I think we have about 15 now pickers. And it kind of leveled out in 2014, and I'm sure you all know why, you know, with the market. Nobody really wanted to go out and buy a new machine. So we've been dealing with them for quite a while. We began, well, in 2008, 2009, when we started using the round bale pickers, we installed the stove run wrapper in our gin. We used that to unwrap the round bales. In 4 years ago is when we really started testing with John Deere, or were asked to start doing testing as far as the reed efficiency between the 2-tag, 3-tag, and 4-tag wrap. And as most of y'all know, the biggest or the most success we had with the 4-tag wrap plastic. And using, you know, while we were testing, we were using both module trucks and flatbeds. So just trying to see how efficient it was with using the overhead readers. Let me see. And that's just a picture of one of our producers bringing in, and this is the wave bridge that I've built with the antennas. It has three antennas that you can see that are facing down, detecting the RFIDs. In 2013, we had a joint effort with John Deere, EWR, which most of y'all probably use in as far as your gen software, or also known as eCotton. And myself, to take it a little step further, we installed the waybridge, had the three antennas put on it. And so as the modules in 2013, really all we were trying to do is just trying to read the round bales as they came in and get the software, eCotton's load entry software, to acknowledge the RFID tag and the number. And in 2014, we kind of did the same thing, not many changes. Excuse me. And then this past season, we took it a little step further. You know, as I told y'all, with Cotton Incorporated and eCotton and John Deere, what they did is I had, they set me up as a partner in my John Deere. And so with the farmer, we had one producer that had the reader on his machine. And so daily, you know, as he was harvesting, if he finished a block or a farm, you know, he would send a file, or I would receive a file in my email, where I would have to go into, log into my John Deere, download that file, which is in a zip format. Once you download it into your desktop or into your computer, then we could import it into our eCotton program. And that's something that I would like to see, you know, from John Deere, the file, it's a little difficult, you know, that zip file, you know, there's a lot of extra steps, you know, to read in or to download that format. And then another, you know, and two, you know, as the technology or the tracking on the gen level, you know, the more and more people that are trying to utilize the RFID tag, you're not going to have time to, you know, to go in there, you know, every hour on your email and zip and, you know, unzip files and download them. So that would be a little, another format would be easier on the gen level. Once the file was imported into the gen program, the RFIDs will be recognized as they pass through the weighbridge. The load entry screen, which some of y'all, if you use eCotton, you'll be familiar with that load entry screen, would display the number of round bales that were on the truck. So if you were using a module truck, you know, it should pick up, it should show that there's four rounds on the truck, that there was four. On a flatbed, if you had six or seven or eight, or how many had come across the scale, that number should show up as well. And then also it would show the RFID, it wasn't the RFID number, it was the serial number or the module, that 11-digit number, which that's the, you'll notice that's on the white tag, that's on the exterior of the wrap, if you've ever noticed looking at the round bales. Because, you know, like Jonathan was saying, you know, at the gen, you know, you have to have a way, you know, if you do away with your traditional module tags, and, you know, if you have a misread, you know, you have to have some way to identify on the yard before it goes into the gen. And I don't know about you, Jenners, but, you know, I have a lot of my producers now are bringing in their own cotton on a flatbed. And so it's, at first I kind of thought it was going to be a bad idea. You know, I kind of thought it was going to be like a grain elevator where they're just standing out there lined up. And so it actually has worked out pretty good. We hardly use any module trucks anymore, which we still do have to have a module truck here and there for when the round bales bust. I don't know about y'all, but we have some bear problems, and the bear love to tear those round modules all to pieces. So, and then some operator error too. But so you still have to have a module truck and that, and you're still dealing with conventional modules. So, you know, the information and the exchange between the producer and the gen to get it into the whatever software you're using at the gen level. You know, if you're somebody like me, when, you know, you're not sending the trucks out there anymore and doing you know, setting it up, who you're going to pick up, when you're going to pick up, knowing the cotton that's out there. I mean, sometimes you just, they're just coming every day. So you don't really have any control of, you know, what's coming in. That's why at the gin, you know, with e-cotton is what we use. We have to have a way for that information, I guess, to be continuously sent from the picker, you know, because, you know, the round bales, as soon as they hit the ground, if they're on a truck and they're at the gin in 30 minutes, you know, we have to have a way to thank you. There goes that scanner. Excuse me. But e-cotton, as Ed said a minute ago, you know, they developed an app, you know, for you guys that still have model trucks and or of your own, where you would have to go in there, and this is just another step that you shouldn't have to be doing using the RFID technology. But what you would have to do is you'd have to go there and set up a load in your, I mean, I don't know who's using the My Modules app already, but you would have to set up a load in there. Then you could take a tablet or iPad, I think it was just with a tablet.
Android tablet.
And if you had a Wi-Fi right at your weighbridge or, you know, where the tablet could pick it up, it would set up a load and dispatch to the driver where he was going to go pick up, you know, the next load. So when he unloaded, he could go in there on his tablet, the driver, and hit dispatch, and then he would know where his next, if he was changing farms or going to a different farmer, you know, he would know where he was going to go pick up his next load. So it's just, you know, some of these things, you know, the technology's here, you know, it's just been challenging, you know, trying to put all these pieces together, you know, especially with all parties, you know, John Deere, you know, I've been using e-cotton, you know, Jonathan's, you know, doing his own thing. Because just in the industry as a whole, you know, there's 600 gins out there. Everybody's doing something different. Everybody has a different idea. I was fortunate to go to Australia a couple years ago. And over in Australia, the majority of those gins are 100% round balers. And, you know, a lot of those gins are owned by merchants. You know, so they have 5, 6, you know, 8, 9 gins that they own. They have their own electrical engineers. They have their own software writers. So this technology was a little easier adapted. You know, it's kind of interesting that it was developed in the U.S. and we're still struggling to fully integrate it. And it's gone over to Australia and they're using it, you know, completely. So that's just one of the challenges, or many challenges that I've seen. So that's pretty much what all I had, you know, as far as my experience and, you know, what I was up against and trying to use. So anybody has any questions or for me?
I've got a question for you. Do you have any issues at all with the overhead meter? I know that we have more RFID tags in it now, but when we first started, was there any issues with it being on the bottom or sides?
When we started out, well, the first year we had it, Harrison, and we were doing it, I think it was a 3-tag wrap our producer had, the one that we were using. And the machine, when it would come out of the picker, depending on how it would land and get put on the truck, it may not read it. But what they did is they went, the technician with our local John Deere, he went in there and changed the setting. So when it would come out, it would pretty much have that one tag in that 12 o'clock position. It may be, you know, like a 10 o'clock or 2 o'clock, but no, it was pretty.
In a position.
Yeah.
It's my understanding that all U.S. reps can have 4.
As of 2015, all had solar.
And I don't know, none of our guys were stacking them. You know, like earlier today, somebody had some slides, you know, and I don't think I saw where Jimmy Stover's new trailer, they're not sitting on top of each other, so I wouldn't see that being a problem. In Australia, when I was over there, there was that one truck that had, I don't know, six or eight on a trailer. You know, just I don't know what kind of luck they've had, but when I was over there, they were all in a line. So, but we didn't have any trouble with it. So, yes, sir.
Todd, what other information? You're obviously able to read a left-digit number. Is that also information, farm numbers, that stuff already on it? Does the farmer put it in there?
Yes.
Does he take a picture with a cell phone? How does that work?
Well, I guess, you know, down the road, you know, when I get that file from the producer, it's already got the information for that round bale. So it's already, whether he's preloaded it in the machine.
Okay, so it's up to him to do that.
That's right.
Okay.
And in Australia, what they were doing, you know, the producer would have somebody on staff, whether it was a secretary or whoever, he did it himself, you know, because they're such a lot larger, you know, the producers, and they deal with a lot of round bales over there with the high yield. But that producer would have somebody that would clean the file up and then send it through the gin, you know. So, you know, that's fine and dandy, but, you know, like I was telling you before, I may receive some in 30 minutes from the time it's been picked would be on my yard. So there's got to be some kind of automated way, whether it's through a, you know, cell phone signal, just like your cell phone that's constantly sending it to the cloud, or a gen, you know, whether the picker goes in there and puts the gen code.
And you don't want to come across that scale and you not have any information.
That's right.
It could.
So, but also we have, you know, if taking it further, you know, so you would have a reader, like in Australia, and we had the same intent, but in Australia they'd have a reader at the scale, but then they'd also have a reader at the unwrapper, like Jonathan had. And so, and they're treating it on each individual round bale. So, I mean, the bales were coming out like 3.5 for this number. It might be 4.5, 5 bales coming out of the next bale. So it was, you know, a little bit of variance depending on how it was cut, the round bale too. So.
When you get information such as moisture content or bale weight, plenty of weight, what do you as a genetic intend to do with that? Do you adjust your settings on dryers and
I want it personally, if it gets to a level of 14 or 15%, to cut the picker off.
Well, that was
that guy to walk around for 2 hours trying to figure out what it is, and then when it's ready to be picked, he can crank it back up.
Well, see, that was one of the, when we were in Australia, that was one of their biggest problems, you know, because a lot of their guys were running their pickers. Some of those producers run them 24 hours a day. And, you know, they had a lot of guys, just like the custom harvesters out in the Midwest. I mean, you get a lot of guys that, they called them backpackers, you know, from other countries that would just come in and they put them on a picker and, you know, turn them loose. And that's why the gin was wanting to, you know, to have the moisture sensor on there, you know, so they would know who's picking, what operator's picking too late or at high moisture, they would stop, you know, if it got above 13-14%. So, yeah, I mean, yes, you could utilize that information on the gen level. You know, it's like I told Ed and the guys with John Deere, we were working on this. You know, we're not 100% integrated from start to finish, you know, like we were hoping back in 2008 when we were told, you know, it's taking a lot longer than what we had expected. But as far as the cost savings, or has it saved me any money? No, because, you know, putting this stuff up, you know, it's cost me money out of pocket. And I hadn't seen any return on it. But just like Jonathan said, you know, if you're a gin that's 15%, 100% round bales, you know, if that's what your customers want, you know, that's what you got to do to, you know, to stay in business or keep that customer happy. So not necessarily about, you know, being able to save on every project.
We're getting close on time. Maybe one or two more questions for anybody on the panel.
Let's give Todd some thank you for those great comments. Todd. Is Robbie Shields isn't here anymore, is he? One question I have for Jonathan. You said, and that's a problem we ran into with the standard. The USDA limits module numbers, I think, to 5 digits. Is anybody from the USDA still here? Well, Tommy, yes. But from the classing office, yeah. But so we did notice that that's the limitation, and I'm pretty much told that's probably not going to change. So how were they handling your, when you gave them that 11-digit number, what did they do with it?
They called me pretty quick.
Go ahead and stand up for the mic.
They called pretty quick, and they said, we can't handle that many digits. Ultimately, though, I mean, we did that, like I said, some 20 or so something thousand bales, so some 5,000 round bales, that 5,000 serial numbers that they saw like this, and we had no problems. And it is, I think it's more than 5 digits.
Okay.
I think it's more than 5 digits, but it's not near 11. But it worked out so that, you know, because I think as Chris was explaining, those first sets of numbers on that serial number, they've got some unique meanings and really have nothing to do with the number itself,
uh-huh.
Their designations. And then so you end up with fewer than 9 digits that, you know, at least I believe in what we've experienced are workable in
are
what we're trying to do. Yes,
yeah.
Yes. Now, what you would experience is if that wrap ended up being made at a different plant, it could have the same ladder portion, or if it was a different year of manufacture, it could have the same ladder portion. But, you know, you got some pretty tremendous odds in that taking place. So, I mean, it worked out for us.
That's just something we're going to have to figure out, but we'll figure it out. I was just interested to hear you had that. So, fat out 11. These guys have been pretty dang patient here.
Yeah, this is the longest, especially beer 30. I do want to thank all the speakers, and I also want to thank Harrison and Mr. Valco for Harrison, Mr. Valco, Tommy. I shouldn't do that to one or the other, but thank you all for putting this together.